This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSIN, the sports betting network. Hour three on a Wednesday. That means professional bettor Scott Spreitzer, Doc Sports Handicapper, docsports.com. You can give Scott a follow on Twitter at Scott Wins as we welcome you back to Sharp Money. Dustin Sweetelson downtown at the D off Fremont Street. I'm Patrick Maher, and a little surprise before the program started its third hour as we say hi to Scott. Any chance you get to take a picture with Dustin Sweetelson, you got to capitalize. And I think that's the way we started the segment today, Scott.
I thought, man, it's been all this time, all these years, that I've never sat there and gotten a picture with you and or Dustin. And so I thought it's about time. So I had Sean McCollum, give me a picture with this guy, you know, so I can prove to everybody that I do know him. You know, so
I should probably get
just
that
so you
picture.
Know, he will say after he'll say, "I told you." Even Scott wants a picture with
everyone.
Me.
there's a line forming here at the D.
Yeah, there is.
I should get that picture, put it on my dating app, and be like, "Look, someone asked to take a picture with me randomly when I was at a casino. Maybe it'll help me get people to reply to me on Hinge."
Yeah, but you don't want the girls. You don't want the girls asking about Scott. Neither does his wife.
That's true.
The girls or the seniors, I'm not sure what.
I go into the 40s. I don't go that deep, Scott.
Well, I meant for me. They see all that white hair.
Yeah, we were joking right before we came on. And Dustin, maybe you can kind of elaborate. But as we get closer and closer, it's a great week one slate in college football, including, you know, Colorado, North Dakota State, Minnesota, hosting North Carolina tomorrow. I know, see Dustin out of the corner of his eye watching the baseball game.
Well, I don't
know
what happened.
So
if you can I thought it was already 3-0. I look up, it's 1-0. Did a home run get taken off the board or something? Because they just drove in the two runs, the Astros. It's now 3-0. But I swore I opened up the box score and they had three runs already. So I don't know what's going on.
They did.
Here.
And they took the runs off the board. So I have no clue what happened. However, would you like to repeat what you were saying to Scott as far as the baseball grind and kind of turning the page?
You forget because it's been a while. Just the way – this is why football is the most popular sport in America. The way the week sets up with the lines getting dropped on Sundays for college football specifically, right? And then you jump out at the numbers that stand out to you right out of the gate. Then you start your handicapping throughout the week of the other numbers that you're like, okay, this feels a little off. Let me look into this. Let me match it to my numbers. Just that handicapping versus the day in, day out grind of baseball, where it can be just so much work for so little juice at the end with baseball. And by the way, I should note, we do have a big line move in the last couple hours here. Jackson Merrill is now -400 for Rookie of the Year. So I'm done with baseball.
Well, it's a grind that you enjoy, Scott. So maybe do you have a counter to what the big guy's saying here?
No, I actually kind of agree with him. I mean, when it comes to football, I can handicap any time of the day or night all week long, you know, anytime I want. With baseball, it's got to be done, and it's got to be done, you know, at a certain time. So I end up, you know, handicapping from 10 o'clock at night till 2 in the morning or whatever it takes to get the schedule done. So, you know, I'm kind of on their schedule. And it's every day. It's 7 days a week. Where football, I can, you know, I've already got my numbers done before next week starts. I'll have my numbers will be done tomorrow for next week, and then I'll go. So that's already done. Sundays I'll go in Sunday morning, Saturday nights overnight, look and see what happened with this week's games, and you can kind of do it at your own speed. And I can be ready to go when lines start coming out, or I can wait. It's up to me. It's not every day of the week, but I kind of agree with them to a certain extent. I've always said, as much as I love baseball, I love nothing better than sitting in a baseball stadium, in a major league stadium, with a couple of cold ones and a couple of buddies. I love it. But can we reduce it to 120 games? You know, it's like first week of September, NFL starting. Let's cut it back to 120 games.
What if the playoffs started right now, Labor Day weekend? So then you get opening college football, and then the playoffs run into week one of the NFL, and it'd be the best run in the calendar. Instead, there's an entire month of this sport that nobody pays attention to until the playoffs.
And baseball will never do that, obviously, what I'm saying. I'm just kind of joking, but I kind of half mean it. But they've got to start doing something. I'm going to give you guys a perfect example. I had somebody, just as I'm walking up to do the show, I had somebody text me, and they said that they were having a problem accessing the video that I did last night for tonight's baseball. And so I just wanted to make sure it was operating well, and it ended up being fine. It was just something wrong with that guy's phone or something. But anyway, I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at the views. Let me tell you this. 2 days ago, I did a WNBA video. As of right now, the WNBA video got four times more views than the baseball video. And that's been a regular happening. Maybe not four times, but one and a half or two times as much as Major League Baseball. So I don't think this Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese love affair from the public, from the sports viewing public, is a niche. I think it's going to be a situation where baseball better get going. And I do like some of the proposals, like the six-inning situation with a couple of asterisks next to it for a starting pitcher moving forward. But, man, it's fallen behind, and you can go off a steep cliff real fast.
No, I'm so glad you brought up the data from your video, because whether it's Thomas Gable, who runs the race and sports book at the Borgata, we've been hearing just that, that the WNBA handle has been on fire this year and has never let down. Conversely, it's a fine baseball handle, but it's dipped.
Right.
So and the young kids see what's interesting, too, about some of the younger, a lot of analytics-based handicappers that talk about baseball, and everybody uses analytics, but I would say, and Dustin, you can correct me, amongst the younger handicapping group are 20% betting sides and totals,
yeah,
because they're all betting, yeah, props.
They're all betting props. They're all chasing the home run props that are like, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 to 1. They're really good at finding angles on these pitching props as well. That's what they're looking at. They don't think about first fives.
Yeah.
They don't think about totals. They are just attacking props every day, and I respect it.
Nerfy-yerfy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's become so popular.
Yeah.
You know.
And, like, to me, it feels just like a coin flip.
Yeah. I mean, I bet probably three times this summer, nerfy-yerfy. And it's almost like you said, Patrick, the younger crowd, it's the length of a boxing round sometimes, or a UFC fight. You know, you've all of a sudden you've watched 15 minutes of baseball and your bet has already been decided. And I think that's just the younger crowd. I love the fact that baseball went to the reduced time between pitches. It certainly has helped. But, you know, it's one of those things where I'm a baseball purist traditionalist. I get it, but I'm also not stupid when it comes to marketing and promotions. And that means baseball's got to make changes to get that younger crowd. I don't know how they're going to do it. The fact that they may go to a six-inning situation for starters is a good deal. But does the 23-year-old who bets nerfy-yerfy really care? I mean, they're in a tough spot.
Well, no, you kind of nailed it, because there is a correlation. They're spending all of their time with instant gratification chasing,
yep,
on social media. So waiting out a 2.5-3 hour baseball game does nothing for them when you can get a 10-minute result, or, you know, a 20-minute result with a nerfy-yerfy. So that makes sense. Dustin was pumping his, yeah, fist while you were explaining that, because we are on the over Astros-Phillies. And it looks like the Astros in the top of the fourth have played at 5.
Yeah, it's not Taco Tuesday. It's Taco Wednesday, because Jordan Alvarez went Oppo Taco, lefty to left field, to tack on two more in a home run here. Taiwan Walker still in at 64 pitches. They may just be making him wear it, but he's got two outs, and he's getting beat up by the Houston bats. 6-0, feeling pretty good about where we sit.
And we did talk about Walker stinking. Yeah. Well, we talked a little baseball, so let's do that, and then we'll get into the football. And we're going to start here with you, Scott. It looks like you're on the total with the Yankees at the Nats. I'm showing 9s and 9.5s.
Yeah, this was actually 8.5 at a lot of shops last night at, you know, 1 a.m. Pacific time, so there you go. But I did the video. This was the video I did, this total, and I was talking about, you know, and this is what we do at night, by the way. If I put out a video at 1 or 2 in the morning and you know, I've been around doing this so much, and you guys might be there also at this point, because you guys have been around doing this a long time too. You're right on where the line's going to move about 85% of the time. Doesn't mean you win 85%, but about 85% of the time, you know where the money's going. And that was the case. So even though it was a lot of 8.5s, I mentioned to folks we were going to grade it at 9. So it's still there, as you mentioned, in some shops. But listen, man, I look at Carlos Rodon, and, man, if you just look at what he's done in his last 6 road outings, I mean, 8.12 ERA, .177 whip, 195 home runs per 9 innings pitched ratio, and the guy's got a 10% barrel rate on the season. You know, he's finding the sweet spot on opposing bats. And then Mackenzie Gore, he's not much better. I mean, if you look at what he's done in his last 4 at home, ERA almost 8, a whip over 2.6. And I was looking at their last 4 games, the Nats, when he starts, the last 4 times Gore has taken the home bump. and Washington and their opponents have combined to average over 11 runs per game in those outings. So then you look at New York, you know, you got like a couple of top nine metrics in OPS and weighted runs created plus on the road against Southpaws, and I think you'll see Washington get a few runs of their own. So I think this one moved in the right direction from 8.5 up to as high as 9.5, and I think they end up scoring in double figures tonight, 10 or 11 runs.
Do you do anything with the two lefties in D.C. tonight, Dustin?
No, but I like where Scott's coming from. Yankees averaging 5.66 runs per game over their last six. They're red hot. Rodon gets hit by everyone. And then Mackenzie Gore, he's been up and down, more down in the second half. Really don't like what's happening with him. And he's a guy who has some experience, so you think like the long part of the season he'd start to be building up and getting used to it at this point, but he's just not.
Right.
So the Yankees are going to tee off on him because the Yankees are hitting everyone right now, and Rodon's getting hit by everyone. If I was going to bet this, I would also look at the over.
And I'm not a big over player, a totals player in general. I'm a first five innings under player. And so it does take, it doesn't mean it's going to win tonight, but it does take something for me to actually plunk my money down on an over. Now, again, most of the totals I play, probably 85 to 90%, are first five unders. And I started doing a lot of first five unders when, you know, we started getting ghost runners at second base and extras. You know, what last night, what did we see? Something like six more runs scored in the 10th inning in the Atlanta Braves game or whatever. You know, there's no way I'm giving anybody guys on base and extras on
it's like,
an under.
It's like when you're on a full game under and it goes to extras, you turn
off the TV.
It's like college football overtime. The stats shouldn't even count anymore.
Right.
It gets ridiculous. Okay, we're going to come back. You've got to play on the Giants Brewers, and we'll get into some football with professional bettor Scott Spritzer. Sharp Money. Sharp Money on a Wednesday. We've got our family plays. We've got Chance Copperpot. Yes, that's his name. Sharp Money Survivor. He's killing it in the WNBA, so he advances. We'll get to his video coming up in just a little bit. Dustin Sweetelson at the D alongside our good friend and professional bettor, Scott Spritzer, DocSports.com handicapper, DOCSports.com, at Scott Wins with two T's on Twitter. Okay, one more baseball play, Scott, and we'll get into the football, of course, a week one coming up in college football. You were on the San Francisco-Milwaukee play. Right now I've got Milwaukee and Peralta laying, you know, anywhere between 164 all the way up to $1.70. What do you got with the Giants and Brewers?
Do you guys ever lay one run? I mean, you know, with that alternate or adjusted run line? I mean,
I've seen people start to do that.
Yeah.
I don't do it a lot.
It's more and more popular.
Yeah, I don't do it a lot. There's a couple of major books, DK, those that I know offer it. And that's the recommendation here would be Milwaukee. That's what I did, minus a run, minus $1.20. But I also don't have a real problem with laying a run and a half here with Milwaukee at plus $1.30. The reason I, you know, once in a while will lay one instead of one and a half is it's always with a home team. If I like the run line, sometimes I just don't, you know, I wanted that protection of going to the, you know, through 8.5 innings and having a one run lead and at least to get a push. But I don't have a problem, and that's a nice price, 1.5 plus $1.30. They lost 5-4 last night. It was the first game back at home after six or seven games on that road trip, and I think they're going to bounce back here. I look at Kyle Harrison. Guy's got a 10%+ barrel rate. I never play on those pitchers. I either play against them or I stay away from their games or play the over. But the barrel rate's hefty. He's got poor road numbers. And I went back and I was looking at Fangraphs. And out of 14 pitchers who have started a game for San Francisco this year, he was dead last, 14th on the roster in stuff plus, location plus, and pitching plus, right across the board talking about Harrison. And I think Milwaukee tees off a bit. This is a team that's, you know, third, fifth, and seventh at home against Southpaws in batting average OPS and weighted runs created plus. And I know Freddie Peralta's metrics aren't great all the time, but they're much better than Harrison's. San Francisco's in the bottom 10 on the road against righties. So I went ahead and laid the run with Milwaukee. But again, I also like, and I think I told a lot of the clients, you know, I know I did lay the run and a half and get that plus $1.30. It's funny with some clients because they've complained about laying the run that they can't get it. So lay the run and a half plus $1.30. Lay the run if you can find it.
Beautiful. Let's do this. Let's transition over to college football because you mentioned some very good games. You got a full slate tomorrow night, so we're looking forward to that. But I want to start with a marquee matchup, and that is Clemson and Georgia. So just quickly to outline the number, which is almost shocking to see with Dabo and Clemson, but this is going to be played in Atlanta, Scott and Dustin. And right now, Georgia's showing 13.5. Now, just to note, this number has touched 14, maybe a little buyback, back down to 13.5 with Georgia laying it. And we're looking at a total, Scott, of 48.5.
Yeah, I got to say real quick to start this whole analysis on Clemson and Dabo Sweeney that I'm not really as old as my hair pretends to be. Okay, so when I say I'm old school, let's, you know, keep it in context here a little bit. I don't have a walker quite yet, maybe after the season. But the bottom line is, you know, if I don't have a bet or a play against Clemson, I don't know about you guys, but I root for the old school situation of Dabo Sweeney saying we're not going to go through the transfer portal. I root for the coach who is loyal to his players for the most part and is all about developing players, taking them from great high school players, making them into good or great college football players. So I kind of dig that. At the same time, I know he's not going to win national championships doing things that way. At some point, you got to make that change, at least to a certain extent. But, you know, his offense has been lackluster without Trevor Lawrence ever since he left, whether it be Ugi Alalele or whether it be anybody he's had since. It's been lackluster. They do get Cade Klubnik back. They were 130th in explosiveness on offense last year. And so I'm not sure they're going to make a big jump here. They go up against a talented Georgia defense. The one thing about the Bulldogs and this Kirby Smart defense is that they were great in the secondary, but outstanding in the secondary and likely against the pass this year, but they weren't too hot against the run. They were 88th in EPA per carry last year, the Georgia Bulldogs. Clemson was excellent against the pass on defense, so we'll see if Carson Beck can overcome the loss of Brock Bowers. I'm sure he will be able to a certain extent as the weeks move on, but I think you're going to see Georgia running the football first behind that extremely talented offensive line. Clemson's going to have to run the football. They're not going to be able to pass at will against this team. And I like it under 48.5. And boy, it feels weird to look at a marquee matchup and say it's going to go under because they always seem to get a couple of crazy long distance, big play touchdowns, and there's 60 points on the board by the end of the game. But that's the way I'd go here, is playing the under 48.5.
Can I just want to kind of piggyback on what you said about the old school approach, and this is coming from a South Carolina guy. So South Carolina, for people that don't know, South Carolina and Clemson don't loathe each other. They literally can't even. It's disgusting to even think about the other school. But Dustin, this might surprise you as well. This is the first year I find myself pulling for Dabo, because the transfer portal has made our job very difficult, but because just sitting down to handicap and figure out who's who and where are they. Clemson, I'm looking at a team and I'm like, yeah, this starting 22, I'm pretty comfortable with. But, and therein lies the rub with Clemson. I think they could win the ACC. I think the schedule after this game isn't overly daunting, but the depth isn't there. And that is the lack of the transfer portal. Like, the starting 22 is very good. We'll see how good Klubnik can be this year. But I do find myself, Dustin, kind of in the same boat as Scott. Simpler times.
Okay. A note on the NIL thing. Clemson gets NIL money.
Sure.
Instead of using that to persuade other players to leave their programs and come to them, Dabo takes care of his guys. If you're loyal to Dabo, Dabo's loyal to you. There's something special within that. He's looking out for his players. So it's not like he's not paying players. He's paying his guys who stick with him. And I think there's something to appreciate about that. I also think it's I'm on Clemson, Scott. I took the 13.5.
Okay.
I just think UGA is working in a lot of new pieces. They've gotten killed with the draft the last 2 years. A lot of key members going to the NFL, and rightfully so. No McConkie, no Bowers, no Ra-Ra Thomas on the offense. And if you go over the last two seasons, yeah, this is the marquee program in college football. They're 13-15-1 against the spread. That's one game better than UCLA and a game worse than Akron.
All of the above. I mean, again, you know, what they lost on offense, that's going to mean they're going to run the football quite a bit in this game, and I think that's going to move that clock and keep it going. But, yeah, if I had to play a side, I would be with you on Clemson. I pass the side in this game. Real quick note about, we talk about transfer portal now. I saw a really good tweet by Brad Powers. I have a lot of, nothing but respect. I mean, the guy works his butt off 24/7 on football. And I saw a tweet the other day that something I stopped doing a couple years ago was worrying about spring practice, you know, worrying about any of this college football stuff until you get to, like, late July. stop making bets. I stopped making bets, you know, a couple years ago until we get into August. And he came out and he said on Twitter, he goes, something along the lines, and I'm paraphrasing, of, boy, it just makes it feel like all this work is worth nothing.
Well, he laid 4.5 with Montana
right.
State, I believe it was.
Yep. And wins by 4.
And they win by 4. Yep. Where it's like he got a great number. They ended up winning. They figured it out. They won in the box score. I did have New Mexico plus 13.5.
Well, there you go.
But if I'm him, I'm bitter because he got a great number.
Exactly. Well, it's like Sean has. I've said it a million times. He always says, ain't nobody knows nothing about nothing at the start of the season. and it's worse. It's more like that now than it was 30 years ago. By the way, that came from an old bookie of his long before I met Sean. So that statement, and then Sean repeated it, and now I'm doing it. But, yeah, it just makes it so tough.
I know it's not on your list, but kind of following that theme, what we saw with Georgia Tech beating Florida State, Florida State's going to get better as the season progresses, you would think, although the question's at quarterback. Dustin and I are taking the points in the 9.5 tomorrow with North Dakota State against Colorado because Colorado is working in those transfers, and you're going to have individual talent being better on Colorado, but the better team is North Dakota State tomorrow night.
I don't know how anybody can bet against North Dakota State no matter who they play. I really don't, you know. It's one of those situations where I would either play on them or stay away from the game. I haven't decided if I'm going to jump in yet. The Montana State play a game that I'm watching that when, you know, they were getting whipped by New Mexico early on. Of course, there was a couple of defensive touchdowns there, but I'm watching that and I'm going, this is one of the top five FCS teams and they're getting knocked around by a very bad FBS football team. It just kind of, I shouldn't compare that to North Dakota State, Colorado. That's stuck in my mind. And that's kept me from making that play yet on North Dakota State. So I'll decide in the next 24 hours what I'm going to do. But it would be them or nothing in this game.
Didn't you get crushed on a parlay in that game, big guy?
I had Georgia Tech on the money line with New Mexico on the money line. It paid out almost 21-1.
Oof.
And me and Patrick were on the phone. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to let it ride. Like, it's fourth quarter. New Mexico's up 17. I'm watching the cash out option go. It's like, cash out for this, and it just keeps dropping and dropping and dropping.
And
like,
once it gets
no.
too late, yeah.
I'm like, no, there's no way they're really gonna blow this. And then instead of settling for, I'm like, we'll go for overtime. Montana State with like 30 seconds to go, instead of settling for a field goal, scores a touchdown
right.
with 10 seconds left. I'm like, it's done. It's over. I got nothing
it's
left.
It's over.
Oh, that's horrible.
It's over. Time to get on Tinder.
Yeah.
We return. College Station, A&M's up to 3, hosting Notre Dame. We'll discuss it with Scott Spritzer next. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we welcome you back midweek, August 28th here on a Wednesday. Scott Spritzer is here, a professional bettor, sitting next to the big guy at the D off of Fremont Street next to Bar Canada. Let's talk about Notre Dame and Texas A&M, boys. So this number has jumped up to 3 with A&M laying it. And 46.5 on the total. So Elko takes over. So kind of rejuvenation as far as it had gotten stale at College Station. Let's put it that way. It had gotten really weird and stale. And I'm thinking Elko, remember, pulled off one of the biggest early stunners of the year at Duke last year when they beat Clemson right out the gate. So here's what I have on this one. You guys can run with it. I think the defenses take over. Golden's building a brick wall there at Notre Dame, and this defensive front at A&M this year is supposed to be spectacular. I think it's going to be low scoring, you know, sloppy on offense. I'm going to go under 46.5, Scott.
I'm with you. I'm on the same play of this game, and it's one of those things, again, where that total's low at 46.5, and I just think to so many games in my past that I've bet on that I've had the under, and it's 14-7 because of, you know, a punt return, a kickoff return, and an interception return that went 60 yards against me because you have so many key and talented players on both of these defenses. So that always scares you, but I did play the under 46.5. You mentioned getting stale at College Station. You know, earlier this summer, maybe it was just a few days ago to tell you the truth, it's all blended together, but I was reading this article on Action Network, and they had said that since 2010, Texas A&M 6-0-1 to the under when their wins total is 8 wins or more, talking about season wins. 6-0-1, they finished under that projected wins total, and they've gone under their wins total 5 straight years. They're at 8.5 with a lot of juice on the over in a couple of places I saw right now. So it was an interesting comment. It was not something that I'm going to use for my handicapping, but it just goes back to what you were saying about things have been a little bit stale over the last decade in College Station. The best part about the Aggies to start the season should be that defensive front. I think they're going to make life tough on Notre Dame, and of course that offensive line, 5 experienced offensive linemen with a grand total of 6 starts between them or something crazy like that, and they lose their left tackle in camp. They're banged up. I think this is a real tough game. I understand why that line's gone to 3. I still might lay it with A&M, but I am already on the under, so we're in agreement there, Patrick.
Okay, big guy, what do you got here?
I laid 2.5 with A&M earlier in the week. It's now 3. That was a big reason why. I felt like it was going to get up to 3, and there's a couple factors. I do think Notre Dame's improved. And sure, if Notre Dame wins this game, they're probably in the driver's seat for the playoff. But there's a lot of factors here. One, Riley Leonard, the quarterback. Well, Mike Elko, the head coach of A&M, knows him well. He was his quarterback
he
the last few
him.
Years.
Yep.
So he knows what he wants to do. Also, having Connor Wegman come back gives them A&M some continuity at quarterback. I think both defense are going to be awesome, but you mentioned the O-line issues. Losing that left tackle, they lost Joe Alta graduation, did Notre Dame. And the defense for A&M added the Big Ten's leading sacker from Purdue and Nick Scowerton. That's a key matchup here, but the most important name in this matchup in week one is Kyle. Kyle Field. I think that plays a major role in this. I think it's going to be chaotic. It's going to be crazy, and I'm not sure Notre Dame is ready for that SEC atmosphere.
Okay, let's keep it going. 171 coming up on Saturday. Penn State, West Virginia, right now. And you guys can tell me your thoughts on Drew Aller. We could have some fun with that. It's the Penn State quarterback. However, it is 8. Penn State's laying it in a total of 51.5, Scott.
Yeah, and this was, what, 10 last week at this time, if we would have talked about this game, and I jumped on West Virginia plus the points there. They seem to be awfully sexy among bettors, and that's a little bit always a little bit worrisome, but I do like them here. And again, we've talked about it. I mean, over the last 30-plus years, college football final scores, you know, land on the number or within a point of the number less than 3% of the time. Went back and looked, it's around 2%. Now, when it starts moving 3 and 4 points, then it changes a little bit. But the Mountaineers have one of the top offensive lines of the Big 12, running back White. I think he's going to push for a 1,000-yard rushing campaign. I like Ben Cutter, the defensive linebacker at West Virginia. They get a lot of pressure, at least they did in 2023, on opposing quarterbacks. I think they'll be even better to step up this year. This inexperienced offensive line, and, you know, it's kind of funny. The common theme for me each and every year in week 0 and week 1 is inexperienced offensive lines or very badly injured and banged up offensive fronts. And Penn State's offensive line is not banged up, but it's inexperienced. I don't like how conservative the play calling gets with Penn State at times, and I think that hurts them here also. I know they have some outstanding numbers as far as covering as a favorite against non-ranked teams. James Franklin's numbers since he's been there, nice ATS numbers. But I'm taking the points, and I did, with West Virginia. And even at 8, I still think it's a play, guys.
Country.
I know Dustin's going to be on West Virginia.
It's
I know. I don't even. I just know him. He's on West Virginia.
To the play. Come on. It's
Who
a
sang
riot.
That?
I belong.
John Denver.
All right. I had to ask.
My favorite
the man's
song
on
ever
everything.
Written.
John Denver. He says you knew it.
It's a bop.
It's a rivalry game. West Virginia's coming off first 8-plus win season 16. Since 2016, they have a dual-threat quarterback in Garrett Green. You mentioned White. He's the speedster. Donaldson, the other running back, the banger. The defense led the Big 12 in sacks. I think their offensive line is beefy and big up front against that Penn State front. And I think the Nittany Lions lost a lot. I think it's way too many points. When you look at Drew Aller, that is DJ Uiagalelei in a Penn State jersey.
I agree.
I think I like DJU better. How about that?
Well, he's real good at throwing the 5-yard pass.
He is. Aller's got a lot of Hackenberg in him.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of. He looks the part. It just doesn't. He doesn't deliver.
His number retired
I
yet?
I still. Maybe it was Penn State at Illinois last year. And it was early in the year. Maybe. I can't remember. But I think it was a Big Ten, like one of those noon kickoffs. And I really contemplated what I was doing with my life watching that game. It was disgusting. It was just like, This isn't football in 2023. No. This one, the next one is interesting. 197. So We'll see if Scott fades his daughter here in Reno. Nevada's at Troy. And Troy right now, anywhere between 8.5 and 9 and 44.5 on the total.
This line move's ridiculous. You know, I'm going to be Fezzik for a moment. I'm going to take a hard stand here, put my neck out on the chopping block and just say, what the heck? I watched the Nevada game, too, last week. Remember, Troy was, what, upwards of 13 before last week's Nevada game against SMU. I'm watching that Nevada game. The quarterback's not that good. You're going to probably see Chuba Purdy getting a few reps once he's healthy for Nevada at quarterback. So he's not a great quarterback. He missed open receivers when they did get open. And, you know, yeah, they covered as a 27.5-point dog. Probably should have won that game. It's 24-13 late in the third quarter. They got outgained 408 to 298. 4.2 yards per play, allowed almost 6 yards per play. What I saw was the difference in that game, and what kept it close is that SMU's receivers aren't that good. They couldn't get separation. And so give a little bit of credit to Nevada's defensive backfield. But how about the wide receivers for SMU not getting separation? Still, with everything going on the way it was, the ridiculous weather for the first 2.5 quarters of that game, they still go on to outscore Nevada 16-0 down the stretch. And, you know, I think it's one of those situations where if this game was played in week 3, SMU probably covers that 27-point spread. Having said that, I'm a huge Jeff Choate fan. I think this was an incredible hire in Reno. I did a show last Friday, and I mentioned I would take the points with Nevada-Reno in this game. I love Jeff Choate. He's a fantastic coach. He's all about microwaving the situation now, not rebuilding. However, in this game, you've seen this big drop-off in points. Troy lost some players from a powerful defense. We do know that. But they did a solid job through the transfer portal to fill those needs. I think they're going to be pretty good again on defense. And now they got a new head coach in Jared Parker, who has film on Nevada. They don't have film on Troy with this new coaching staff. And you've got a situation where because of Jared Parker, the coach, they're going to go up tempo. This is going to be a very quick team that's going to probably snap the ball 7, maybe 8 seconds into the game clock, into the play clock. I think it's a tough spot. I think Troy wins this game by a couple of touchdowns. And again, I watched that game last week and I had nothing on it other than talking about it on radio. And I was rooting for Nevada to pull the upset. I just don't think they're nearly as good as that final score indicates.
You invoked Fezzik, so I'll use one of his terms. You got to come back. If this line move, think about it this way. In July, it was 16 with Troy laying it. 10 days ago, it was 15.5.
Yeah.
Now we're sitting 8.5. Principle, you have to come back on Troy here.
Absolutely.
That is way too much of an extreme move.
Based off of one weekend, you know, I mean, it's just, and it was the weirdest game setting. It was 50 degrees at the start of the game. My daughter and her boyfriend drove to Sacramento to see a concert, and she texted me saying there's snow at Donner Pass as she's driving in the middle of August. I remember the announcers opened up the Nevada game last week, and they said, yes, we're in Reno, Nevada, Mackey Stadium for SMU Nevada. It was supposed to be bright and sunny at 85 degrees. Let's just say it's not. That's exactly how
it's
we started.
It's an overreaction.
It is an overreaction, big time.
It's an overreaction. Yep. I'm laying it with Troy as well. I think the tempo is going to get to him. By the way, in real time, I just want to explain what happened. I just got a text message from Dustin, just so you don't think he's being rude to you. He simply texted me, bathroom emergency.
Oh, I saw him like so the leg was moving.
But always the consummate professional.
Yes.
The big guy bailed on you, and you just kept on handicapping.
Well, he had
that's a tremendous job.
He had a quick twitch going with the leg, and I knew he's not a basketball player, so I figured it was a bathroom break.
Scott, you're the best. Doc Sports, DocSports.com. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks.
Okay, a developing situation here on Sharp Money as we try to find the big. There he is, right there on the bottom corner of your screen. He is waddling back from a bathroom emergency. Good job, Larry and the crew, as he lands on the set. The big guy has rejoined. Now, life sometimes comes at you fast. As we do welcome you back, we were breaking down Nevada and Troy with professional bettor Scott Spreitzer, and the big guy sent me a text. I looked down, and I knew it wasn't great because it simply said, bathroom emergency. So we do welcome you back again. Life comes at you fast at times, big guy. How do you feel?
You know, it's one of those deals that, you know, when you're trying to go to sleep, you know, you have to wake up early, you start playing the game of, if I fall asleep now, I'll get 7 hours. If I fall asleep now, I'll get 4 hours. Next thing you know, it's like 30 minutes. I was playing a game for an hour where it was like, yeah, no, you only got to make it 45 minutes. You only got to make it like 40 minutes. Then it's like, you only got to make it 37 minutes, 33 minutes. It just kept getting realer and realer, and the sweat started to build. And I was like, you know what? I think we just got to do this now and take care of business.
That was, I'll give you credit, because I did say while you were gone, I wouldn't put it past you to just want to do bathroom shtick. But you're a professional. I mean, that was an emergency.
Yeah, no, look, and it's happened before with Scott here before. And I would just say the lesson is don't eat an entire container of pineapple before the show starts, because it tends to digest in that final hour, it looks like.
Right. It's a great tropical fruit, but
a lot of fiber.
Maybe not for a broadcast.
A lot of fiber.
So the best part was, you know, you rip off the headset and we're breaking down, and everybody needed to hear it. It was Nevada Troy with a crazy line move, if we're being honest.
It's
it opened
wild.
Like 16. 10 days ago, it's 15 and a half. Now it's 8.5. So you got to buy back on Troy and lay it. But yeah, it was just funny. Scott kept on handicapping the game, which was the important part.
Well, no, thank God he's talking. And that the problem was, like, when he's talking, now I'm thinking. And all I can think about is, man, my stomach hurts. Man, I don't feel good.
Right.
Man, it would be really great if I felt a lot better. And it just builds and builds and builds. And then finally it was like, nope, thank God Scott here. You guys can talk. I'm gone.
Good thing you didn't run into any autograph seekers.
Good thing I didn't get tackled running through a casino.
You would have been that rude celeb.
Yeah, sure.
All right, Chance Copper Pot.
Oh, yeah. We
continues.
Need time.
Pick or die. Sharp Money Survivor, let's set it up.
Yeah, look, he's had two WNBA plays for Sharp Money Survivor. He's won both of them. That's why he advances. Now it's Wednesday. By the way, yesterday, his pick of Asia Wilson over 26.5 points. She had 42. So maybe we just backdoored into the best WNBA handicapper on the planet. He's back again with a lot to say here. Here's Chance Copperpot, Sharp Money Survivor play for Wednesday.
How long can you last? It's time to see how the listeners of VSiN do. Your best plays. Your best bets. Longest streak wins.
We're going streaking!
It's Sharp Money Survivor. Pick or die.
All right, Dustin, Patrick, you want some back story on Chance? Is that what you want? I'll give you some. We got to get a few things straight first, okay? First off, I'm not no damn hippie. Fish? Really? That's what you expected? I was just going to sit around and listen to some fish and noodle out with some jam bands? That ain't my style. That's not what I do at all. I'm a skater. I'm a baker. I'm a DJ. And I'm a promoter. And every so once in a while, I cap. If you want to get my picks, you can find them on Twitter. Chance Copperpot. You know what to do. Now, let's get to some other issues. I'm not single. I've been with the same woman for 14 years now, and we are very happy. And guess what? We don't have no kids. We don't want no kids. I like kids. We don't have any kids. So that was not a children's hat. I mean, let's get serious. That was my hat, built for my head. Actually, customly sewn. I like giraffes, and I like wearing funny things on my face and my head. So that's all that is right there. So we got that out of the way. Next, let's get to the pick. AJ Wilson, over 26.5 points. She cashed in the third quarter, baby. Didn't even get to the fourth. So now we're going to find another winner. That's what we got to do for the survivor, right? Because I'm coming for you. I'm coming for that crown. I can't stop now. I've already started. So let's make it happen. This next pick is going to be. All right, guys, we're going back to the W. Why not? It's been treating me well so far. So I'm going to keep riding it. We're going Derek Ahambi under 16.5 points.
That's it. There was a lot
okay.
more. He's wild. He is right. So wild.
All right. Yeah. That is that was something. Chance Copperpot, who that was a weird amalgamation. He said he was a club promoter, a DJ, and a candlestick maker?
I basically heard I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, I'm a sinner.
I'm a joker. Okay. And what do you have his play? Because I kind of got lost in the
shtick. It was Hamby. I have it here. Hang on. D'Erica Hamby for L.A. under 16.5 points.
Okay. So he's wore a giraffe head. He's come as a pirate. And now he's wearing glasses with big eyeballs.
Yeah.
And it appears a gold medal from the Olympics.
Yeah. Also a cool Ken Griffey Jr. shirt. I will say that. Blowing a bubble. I like that.
And a whale on his shirt, too. Well, we wish you the best. Hey, he's getting closer and closer to Nish Gandhi, who leads Sharp Money Survivor.
And he went under the first one, over the second one. His third bet now is an under as well. Like, he's thinking a little outside the box, not just going for overs.
He's mixing it up. Okay, we've got two family plays to get to. We're going to start with our buddy Aaron Halterman, Dustin.
Dude Who Bet Sports is his podcast, racingdudes.com, where he does all of his handicapping. Here he is with a family play for today.
Sharp Money, family play.
What's up, Sharp Money? Let's try to get it back on the right track here on a Wednesday. And I'm going to go with the St. Louis Cardinals plus 105 on the money line for my best bet of the day today. Musgrove on the mound for San Diego as they try to take their third straight in St. Louis. And I think, you know, Musgrove will probably kind of regress back just a bit to what he normally is. His last game was just sensational. I do think the Cardinals will get a few runs. But my main handicap here is Pallante on the mound for the Cards. And he's just been a very pleasant surprise for an otherwise kind of disappointing season once again for the Cardinals. But Pallante's been good, especially of late. And I think if he can kind of keep that up, the Cardinals will take this one. If you've kind of followed the Cardinals all year, they don't get swept a lot, but they just can't, you know, win more than one or two in a row without losing one or two in a row. So they're kind of on the right side of it after losing two straight. And I think today with Pallante on the mound, if we get a good performance, they're going to win and they're plus money. So let's do it. So I'm going to go St. Louis Cardinals plus 105, my best bet of the day.
Aaron Halterman, the plus money prince, 110. You can find all the picks over at VSiN.com with the best bets and racingdudes.com for Aaron. We have one more, a baseball play, I believe, John Bowman.
Yep, former scout for the Blue Jays, baseball Bowman at John Bowman 11 on Twitter. And here he is with a family play for today.
What's up, Sharp Money? John Bowman here from Baseball with Bowman. And I just wanted to give you guys my favorite play of the day. We're going to go with Diamondbacks on the money line minus 125 against the Mets. It's Eduardo Rodriguez against Luis Severino. Luis Severino has been pitching fine lately. Eduardo Rodriguez pitched well since returning from the IL, but the Diamondbacks have the highest weighted on base average in the league against righties since the deadline. The Mets have been hitting lefties pretty well, but the Diamondbacks also have a much better bullpen, and they're still 17-6 since the deadline. That's good for best in the league. I like the Diamondbacks on the money line here.
D-backs. From Mr. Bowman, baseball with Bowman. Just about a minute and a half here, big guy. Let's close some tabs before you head back to the restroom.
Let's see. Mentioned by Mike Palm, Lou Saban, not related to Nick. He coached for a long time. Looks like career began in 1946, went all the way through the 70s. I had no idea who he was. I thought he was Nick Saban's dad. It turns out he is not.
So it was a topical reference.
Yeah.
World War II.
I was like, oh, is Nick Saban's dad? Like, is he a second generation coach that I didn't know about? Is he a Nepo baby? Apparently he is not. Okay. Let's see. Celebrity birthdays for today. One of your favorite pitchers of all time, Ron Guidry. And one of my teenage crushes, Shania Twain, 59, still looks good.
Damn. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then
how old is Shania?
59.
She looks good. She
looks good. What doesn't look good is about a week ago, me bragging on this dumb show about Paul Skeens plus 150 for NL Rookie of the Year.
Oh, yeah. What did it adjust to?
I can get plus 300 right now. Jackson Merrill's minus $4.
Take the $3. Paul Skeens. Big guy. Way to battle today.
Oh, there was a battle going on internally, I can tell you that.
Dennis Dodd, thank you. Mike Palm, thank you. Antoine Staley, thank you. And Scott Spritzer, thank you. And thank you to the D for having restrooms pretty close.
Yes.
We'll see you tomorrow here on Sharp Money.